Hi, everybody. Welcome to my session. I am Doug Lotti. I work in Microsoft Consulting Services on a team that we call the Enterprise Communications Center of Excellence. I'm always embarrassed to say that, but we're just some Link consultants that work primarily on voice, Link voice deployments. And I want to talk about location-based routing today. So it's a very specific feature of our voice routing in Link. There is a lot more to say about routing, so we're going to focus very, very closely just on this one thing. It was introduced after Link 2013 shipped, so it was a post-RTM addition in cumulative updates. So that's what we're going to focus on for that. We'll talk. This topic is of most interest to customers in regulated countries that are trying to comply with some regulations that are designed to prevent PSTN toll bypass. So we'll talk about that scenario. But we can use this for other things too, so I'm gonna talk about other scenarios. So even if you're not worried about deployment in India, for example, you might find this interesting. So this can address other requirements. It's fairly flexible. This is where you can start to get a little more complicated with your dial plan and your voice routing. So I might suggest that if you want to hear more about, this is a little flowchart I put together many years ago, actually, about all of voice routing. We're going to focus on what happens in the middle of this around the voice policy and the routes. But I might suggest if after you hear location-based routing, you want to know more about the rest of the diagram and more about just the general purpose, like least cost routing and all that, you have another chance to see Ken Lasko's session on Enterprise Voice Best Practices. It's going to be delivered. It was delivered yesterday. He's going to deliver it again. And he'll cover some of the other areas around here, dial plan, all the other things with voice routing. I'm going to be focused on this and location-based routing. Before I jump into talking about location-based routing, I want to flip over to my demo machine. And I'm going to try and do some demos just to make the topic more interesting. What I have here, just so you know, I have two virtual machines primarily that we'll interact with. We have one user that signed in on both of them, and these are in different network sites. So we can talk about how location-based routing happens between sites. Okay? And I also have down here on the floor, you can't see, two analog gateways and two phones to represent my gateways that are at different sites. And I've solicited help from the audience here to do these demonstrations. There's also a third gateway, if you will. It's just an IP PBX running in another virtual machine that this phone that you see is connected to, the 3CX phone. That represents maybe a gateway in my headquarters region. So headquarters region, then I've got something in the west and something in the east. Okay. And right now, I have not turned on location-based routing. So just to make sure that we know what's going to happen here, well, the first thing I want to do for my demo is turn on logging. And I'm not covering centralized logging service a lot in this session, but just so you know, there's an advanced troubleshooting class later tomorrow, I think. I've built a new scenario called voice routing that's going to capture verbose logs on the outbound routing component in case you want to look at those. If you don't believe me, we can always go to the logs. And I'm just going to start that now so that we can, at any point in time, if we want to search those logs, we can do that. That's going to just run in the background. And once you start up a scenario like that, it runs by default for 4 hours. So our session's not going to go that long, so we'll be good. I have a very basic, this is a very simple dial plan and voice policy that I have in here because I want to focus on the location-based routing aspects of it. So just so you know, there's three gateways here with the three sets of trunk configuration. We'll talk about those. There's one user that we'll work with is Amy Strand. Amy Strand has this headquarters policy applied to her user object. I won't go in there and show you, but if you were to look at Amy, you'd see her voice policy is HQ. That one HQ policy routes, these are just names in here, you'd have to take my word for it, it routes to the HQ gateway, which is the one that this phone is connected to, okay? Right now, location-based routing is not on, and that's the policy that's applied to her. So if Amy were to dial this 201 number based on the policy that I told you, what would you expect to happen right now? Go out the very simple, I'm routing everything out the HQ gateway that this phone's connected to. So if I call that number, We expect to see that phone over there ring, and indeed we do. It's not important that we answer, but that's the routing. And you didn't hear any, either of these phones ring in the front. Okay, so the location-based routing is not on. If she were to get an inbound call right now, she's signed in both these places. Maybe she left her phone at her desk in one office, but she's traveled across the country to another office and signed in here. So if she gets an inbound call right now, what would you expect to happen? Both would ring. So Mr. West, would you please just pick up that handset right there, place an inbound call. It will automatically dial, so you don't have to worry about it. Okay. Thank you. Okay. You can see two inbound calls are being signaled, one to each. That's all I need. I'm not actually going to answer. Thank you. All right. Now, I wanted to show that, and I wanted to be in the lab environment, because what I want to do is turn on location-based routing. So we go up here. I've just got the command already. If we do, I don't have it on. I turned it off. There's a global flag. We'll talk about all these flags. We'll talk about this configuration. But I have everything else configured right now except the global flag is off. Okay? So I'm just going to run this commandlet to turn on the flag. Then I'm going to go back to my deck just so that everything can discover this, that this is on. Right? It's just kind of a, this makes a change to your routing configuration. There, that's done. I just need the outbound routing components on the front end to pick that up. So we'll let that bake there for just a minute. We'll talk about location-based routing, and we'll come back to this now, and we'll see how these calls have changed at the end. All right. So when I talk about voice routing in Link, I say there's really just one reason to even bother with routes, and it's all about the dollar, right? And perfect place in Las Vegas to talk about cost and about the dollar. You're making a decision, a conscious decision, whether you want to use your wide area network resources or PSTN resources to place a call, right? I've made the claim before that if every PSTN call were free, right, no long distance charges, no premium numbers, no extra cost for mobile calls, telephone systems would have been built completely different with respect to routing. They would have just said, hey, we'll just pick the closest gateway and send it out to the PSTN and let the PSTN route. Why consume your wide area network resources for that call if we're not going to save any money on the PSTN for it? And that's why we talk about least cost routing a lot. But location-based routing is actually designed to address a couple other factors. PSTN calls are not free, so we still have to make this decision. Do we use wide area network resources or do we use PSTN resources? And because of the money involved, there's regulatory compliance issues as well. So some countries have regulations that are designed to protect the revenue of the telephone company, and they don't want us using our wide area network to bypass a call that should have been put out onto the PSTN. So regulatory compliance. We also have a chance here to optimize our call path for quality. If the cost of the call doesn't matter, if I have two gateways in two different cities and I'm calling a third city, it might not matter in terms of my PSTN toll charges which gateway I used, but in terms of quality, I might want to use the gateway that's closest to the user, right? Wouldn't matter which one it went out. It's going to cost me the same. Let's pick the gateway closest to the user to shorten the call path, optimize for call quality there, not consume any WAN resources. So that's why we bother with location-based routing. That's why we do this. Okay. So I've already mentioned this. Least cost routing is essentially finding out which number is being called and which gateway would be closest to that number. We want the least cost on the PSTN. So we're going to find the gateway closest to the number being called, use our wide area network resources, right? We pay for that wide area network, but we pay the same whether we use it or not, right? So if we've got capacity, let's use it. Minimize the toll charges, maximize the use of the WAN. That's least cost routing. Location-based routing is kind of the opposite. Instead of looking at who's being called, look at the calling party. Find the gateway closest to them, minimize the WAN, the use of the WAN, and enable this compliance, okay? In your deployment, it's not like there's a switch in Link where you say, I want to do least cost routing or I want to do location-based routing. You actually will have scenarios where you'll do both. So they're not mutually exclusive. Use both. Use least cost where it makes sense, where you have the wide area network resources, you don't have compliance issues, and use location-based routing tactically to address those issues. So let me talk about location-based routing then. It's to comply with these regulations that are designed to restrict basically, in the simplest sense, calls that have a PSTN leg and a wide area network leg, or an IP leg. I say wide area network leg because if this comes into a campus site, the call has come in from the PSTN to a campus site, the user doesn't have to be like right on top of the gateway. It will have a VoIP leg, but within that campus site is going to be compliant. So it will, but we're really concerned about going over the wide area network. So we route that both inbound and outbound. We want to protect this. So we can scope this to control who it applies to. If you're a multinational organization, you have offices that maybe in the U.S. where you don't have these requirements, you have your users in the U.S. not fall under these restrictions. So you can scope this to the users, just the different locations and specific gateways. For example, in Link, a PSTN gateway and an IP PBX look the same, right? They're both represented in the topology as a gateway. You'll have to worry about compliance when you go out to the PSTN. You don't have to worry about compliance generally when you go out to your PBX. So you'll want to be able to treat those differently, and you can do that. We give you that flexibility. And this was delivered post-RTM. So this feature set started becoming available in the first update. It was enhanced in the second. I think there have even been fixes since. So all I'm saying here is make sure you've deployed the latest cumulative update to your servers. We'll talk about client requirements as well coming up a little later. Okay. So what can we do? We route outgoing calls based on the caller's location. We can prevent the incoming call. If we were to allow that call, it would break the regulations. What we do in that case is actually route that to voicemail. So you might be, if you've left your home office, traveled to another location across the country, visiting there, if you get an inbound call, that's going to come into your home office because that's where the PSTN DID goes. We can't allow that to go over the wide area network to you, so we would send it to voicemail instead. You could listen to the voicemail and call them back. Location-based routing on your outbound call would help select a gateway from that office that you're in. There is a concept of gateways that are outside these regulations, so it's just worded here as an international PSTN gateway. This international PSTN gateway. Basically, there are gateways if you're in a site where that we don't know about, you're working remotely, we couldn't tell if there's any other case where we couldn't tell that your call, if we were to route it, would break these regulations, then we'll select a gateway where the toll bypass is not enforced. So those are those other gateways. So we'll talk about a scenario where you could use this for your remote workers to select a gateway in their in the data center instead of the one in the branch where they normally work. We need to do this for conferences as well. We need to do it in a transfer scenario. All these other call scenarios where you could have a mix of PSTN users and voice over IP users, we want to prevent that. So there is a conferencing component to this that makes sure that your conferences don't break that. So we'll talk a little more about that conferencing too. If you wanted to see this in pictures, right, this is just exactly what we said. If you're in site A, and let's say, for sake of example, this is Delhi, and the Link user normally works in this site somewhere on that campus, so her DID comes into that site, that would be good. We can route the call to her. But when she goes and visits Mumbai, we would normally, like you saw, at the beginning, when that inbound call came in, the notification came up to both clients, right? And so she would be able to pick that up there. But we want to prevent that. So that's bad. Good, bad. That's what location-based routing does, all right? So let's go back here now real quick. I'm going to go back to this demo machine. And we can dig into the logs a little later. We'll talk about the details of the configuration, but I just wanted to give you a sense. A couple minutes ago, I just turned on location-based routing. I already had it configured. You didn't get to see that. But as we talk about the configuration details, I will show you that. What do we imagine will happen if Amy Strand, my test user here, is now in site A, this would be the West, and she calls that same phone number? If you assume that I've configured location-based routing right based on like that little picture, when she's there and she dials that same phone number, before it rang this phone, now it should bring Mr. West's phone over here. Mr. East? Well, maybe my room is backwards. Okay, so it rang this phone over here. You'll have to take his word for it. You can hang up. There's not going to be any audio. But if she is the same person, the same, I am not changing any voice policy that's assigned to her. I'm not changing anything else. And now she places that same phone call. It's the same phone number I've configured for the sake of the demonstration, both gateways with the same number, and I call. Then it should ring over here in the east. And there we go. You just have, because they're so close together, there we go. Now the phone stops ringing, so it was the east phone. So that's the extent of my demo there. No. We can look at the details of this, but the idea is here now the same user calling the same phone number, I didn't change voice policy, selected the one gateway in one case, the other gateway in the other. So now what do we expect would happen on the inbound call? Instead of she's still signed in at both places, so we get a call. Before, we got notifications on both sides. Now we should expect, if she's signed in, at least in one site where it's allowed, we'd expect a notification on one side, right? So if you would just... So there we go. So now it only comes in on the west side, the notification does. And you can hang up. That's not going to answer. If we were to do the same on the east, you would see only the east ring. If she were not signed in the place that was allowed, so here in the case, the was coming in from the west, she wasn't signed in the west, then it would go to voicemail. I'm just running this on my little Surface Pro machine, so I don't actually have an Exchange UM system here. You'll just have to take my word for it, okay? We can look into, throughout the rest of the session, then we can look into the configuration of this. That's what we'll talk about. Okay. I want to drill in a little bit to this logic that's here. And I'm going to look at from the outbound aspect and the inbound routing aspect of it as well. And this is a little decision tree that Link is using. And this is all in that outbound routing component. If so, I'm doing some logging over here, and I'm capturing the outbound routing component. You can use the Link server logging tool for that. You can use centralized logging service, as I am, for that. And then you can go inspect the logs, and you can see it actually making these decisions. So the first thing it does is the global flag for location-based routing on. At the beginning of my talk, it wasn't. I turned it on. That's why it's working now. We look at the user. This is for an outbound call. We'll look at the user. Can I make the I can't do laser and zoom at the same time. We'll look at the user that's making the call. And we'll see if they're enabled for location-based routing. So it might be just your employees in that country that has these regulatory compliance requirements that you turn this on for. When they do that, we'll look at the source site that they're making the call for. Now, the Link client inserts a little header in there that is the client's subnet ID. And what Link does then is outbound routing will see that MS subnet header, look up in your subnets and sites, your network configuration in Link, which I can show, and it will see if that site that user is in is location-based, if we require location-based routing there. Then what we do, so if all that is true, then we need, then the call is going to be placed using location-based routing. If one of those things is not true, we just do normal routing, outbound routing, using their voice policy. But if we've met all these other requirements, it's globally on, the user's enabled for it, and they're in a site that requires it, then what we'll do is we'll go ahead and place this outbound call, and we need to do two things. We need to make sure, first, that they're authorized to call that number. You might have users in your organization, some that can only make local calls, some that can make national long-distance calls, some that can make international calls. They're going to have policies assigned to them that describe that, right? That there's a policy that says, this user can only make local calls. And that might be assigned directly to the user. We want to check that policy first for authorization, okay, just to see, does the number they're trying to call fit or fall within the scope of their normal policy? So we do check their user voice policy. In the case of my example here, Amy had that unrestricted policy, let her call any number. But she could have been restricted, and we would check that. If they are restricted by that, the call will just be denied. Look at a message that says the policy of your organization doesn't allow calling that number. If they're allowed there, if they're allowed in their voice policy, now we need to select a route. And we don't want to use this policy on the user for the route. We want to select a from the voice routing policy that is assigned to the site. Oh, clicker, not the laser. The site itself will have a voice routing policy assigned to it. I'm going to show all these in a minute. And it's that that voice routing policy that we'll actually then use throughout the call. So there's two policies in play here. One assigned to the user that determines authorization, and one assigned to the network site that are the routes for that site. So you can imagine if you have a site that is Mumbai or West or Site A, you are routing to other gateways that are in that site so that you're preventing this toll bypass. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. You'll have access to these slides. You can view this later. I wanted to show, at least have a snippet of the log in here, just in case. I could pull it up live, but just in case that demo failed, I would have it in here. Here's Amy. Oops, that was not supposed to work. Here's Amy calling this outbound number. This is a snippet from the outbound routing log, and at the verbose level. Amy's making this call. Amy has this particular policy assigned to her. In the logs, your policies pretty much always look like default policy, because that's the internal name. And it'll see that that in her policy down here, there was at least one route available. All we're concerned about is, has the administrator given a route for this number? Because we're just doing authorization right now. So the call is authorized. But because we're doing location-based routing, we're going to the site policy to actually select it. So this would be selecting potentially a different route than the one that authorized her, but the route of a gateway in that site so that it's authorized. The question is there a GUI? And it's a great question. And the answer, unfortunately, is no. And this is one of the things that makes this more complex. There is a GUI for configuring the normal voice policy. And I'll flip back to that and show that later. But for defining the site voice routing policy, the one that's being considered here, unfortunately, that's PowerShell only at this point. And then assigning it to the site is also PowerShell only. So I'm going to show the PowerShell commands, and we'll talk about it. But this does make it a little more complex to manage, because now when you look in the link control panel, you'll see only the normal voice routing. You won't see the location-based configuration that could override that routing. And any test cases you built, too, would not reflect location-based routing. Okay. There is this is also considered for trunk-to-trunk routing, and I'm not going to go through this chart, but I do want to point out to you that there are scenarios where we're getting an inbound call from the PSTN, and we're routing it back out to maybe an internal PBX, not to a link user at all, but routing from one trunk into another, and we are doing location-based routing in there. So we're checking that same thing to make sure that this call, when it's completed, wouldn't violate the regulations that are in effect. Okay, so the two trunks would have to represent gateways that are in the same site to route between them. Inbound routing is fairly simple as well. I don't think I need to go through from this too much, but it's basically saying this inbound call came in from a specific gateway. Is the endpoint also in that same site? Because you've registered, if we don't have to send this call out to you, when you register, you included your subnet in your registration, so we know all your points of presence. We know which site they are all in. And so we can choose to route to just a subset of those endpoints, and you saw that on the inbound call. Or if none of them are available, then we'll route to unified messaging instead. So when you build your sites and subnets map, you're mapping your internal subnets. If you're working remotely, your registration you're from an unknown site, so there's we wouldn't route a call to you if you're working remotely in this case. Being in an unknown site is the same as being in a site that's not the same as the gateway, a remote site. Okay. And just to cover the other scenarios, we'll talk about, yes, question. Yes. Yeah, I'll repeat the question. I think the question is, what happens if you're working remotely? Mm-hmm. Right. If you're, say you're working from home through the edge server, not on the corporate network, and this location-based routing is turned on for you, all of your inbound calls will go to voicemail because you will be in an unknown site, and the assumption is that any calls that we did connect to you, they would have a wide area network component and a PSTN component, and that would not comply with the regulations. So the mobile client is a little different. We'll talk about the mobile client. I guess I'll spill the beans now. We don't, when the mobile client registers, it doesn't provide the subnet information. So yes, the mobile client is always in a remote site. But if you are using the older mobile client, you're not doing VoIP calls, you're doing the call via work type of thing. That can actually work because we're placing a cell call out to you instead of the VoIP call. So the mobile client VoIP calls don't work, but the cell calls do. Okay. And I have a slide that talks about that as well. Conferencing then. We want to make sure that in a conference, we don't have a mix of users, some that have are going out to the PSTN and some that are from different sites. So this looks maybe a little complex, but imagine this this application that is actually monitoring the state of your conference, and it is, and it's making a decision based on the current set of participants in there who can join, right? Not everybody is joining in the same instance. They're all joining as the start time approaches or has just passed. And so if say, right at the beginning, nobody's in there, let's say one link user has joined from a given site, and that's good. That didn't break any. There's only one person in there. It couldn't break any rules. But so the next person who tries to join, we evaluate, if I let this person join, would a rule be broken? And so if that is from a PSTN site, then we'll let them in, because right now there's only one site represented in that conference. If it's a link user from a same site or a different site, any kind of link user, will let them in, because generally speaking, and I'm not a lawyer, so if you're really doing this, you might want to get some legal advice other than mine, but generally speaking, these regulations don't apply to VoIP calls that stay within your organization. We call that a closed user group. So you could have in a link conference participants from many different sites. But if you did, it would be bad if a PSTN user was allowed to join. So this application then would block that. So if you have link endpoints from different sites already in the conference, then the PSTN user would not allow it. Other link users now can still join. So at this point, everybody would have to join with the link client. But if we had one link endpoint in and then the PSTN user was the second one to join, now what this application will do is prevent link users from other sites, because we have this PSTN leg, so we can't have these users from different network sites. Okay? Yeah, so that's what will be the experience here. And actually, this would have been a good thing for me to test before. I haven't seen what happens when the other link user joins. I do want to mention that this does apply to dial out. This is what's going to happen is that if a user's joined via the web page and they want it to dial out to them, this is preventing dial out. This does not apply to dial in. We expect to dial in the administrators to set up those numbers in a way that doesn't comply. So that the PSTN users can still dial into conferences if you provide numbers. The appropriate dial-in numbers. So you might have to provide a dial-in number for Delhi so that users call into the Delhi number to get to the Delhi conferences. If you as an administrator don't think you can do that, you might have to avoid setting up dial-in conferencing numbers as well. But this is only for dial-out, and it would just prevent the dial-out, and I'm not sure the exact message that's presented. Okay. There's a lot to keep track of there, right? But let me talk about some implementation details that I haven't quite covered yet. All of your servers, the mediation server's next hop, and if it's different than also the front ends that the users register against, must be Link Server 2013 with the latest updates. This has been delivered and enhanced only in updates. So the RTM. Of Link Server 2013 does not have this capability. Clients. The client must be one of those clients that registers its subnet so that we know where it is. We started doing that in Link 2010 because we also use that for emergency calling and location policies and that sort of thing. So Communicator R2 does not do that, but Link 2010, Link 2013 clients do. Ken, is there a question? Yeah, great question. He's looking down here at the bottom, a little ahead of me, at the mobile clients. So the phone edition does it. The mobile clients Don't. Well, Link 2010 mobile was not a VoIP endpoint. All you had was the call via work. So if you're doing mobile 2010, when you make a call, it's actually a cell phone call being placed out to you. And what everything I talked about, outbound routing, would apply there. So it is kind of funny that it's the older client that supports it. The Link 2013, what you would do is disable voice over IP so that it's the same, acts the same, and you're making cell phone calls to it instead. Okay. So this is an issue if you're trying to deploy with these regulatory requirements. If it's a question of regulatory compliance, then you want to be careful never to break the rules, right? And so you either don't deploy dial in your conferences, don't deploy mobile 2013 clients. If you're using this just to optimize call path, kind of on a best effort basis, right? There's no law requiring you to do that, but you think it's a good idea. Then these restrictions don't bother you as much, right? So there'll be a few calls where you don't get the best gateway. You'll get the gateway that is picked by that user's voice policy. Okay, but it is something to be aware of, especially if you're in an environment where you must comply. Okay. Now, what do you have to do in Link? And I said every one of these things is a PowerShell item. This is not in the control panel. As I go through each of them, I'll show them. Except for the first one on here. The first one is in the control panel. Your network sites and subnets, you define those in Link, and they are going to be used for this capability. Okay, so if I go back to my machine, just to not that I'm not on that one. All right. And if I look here in my network configuration, I've defined just two sites, site A and site B. I can use these sites now can have location policy assigned to them. I can use them for call and mission control. They have bandwidth policy assigned to them. And if we look at the details of the site, there's nothing here related to location-based routing. I would have to do that configuration in PowerShell. So if I do a get CS network site. So although I can define the sites and subnets in the GUI, I have to go out to PowerShell and say that this site should have location-based routing, and here is the policy that's assigned to it. Well, I'm going to talk about how to configure this policy. So I have to do that in PowerShell, and I don't have a view. If any of you are partners that like build link management applications, this would be a great place for you to build some GUI around these configuration items. Okay. Go back to the slides real quick. I'll try not to dance too much back and forth between here. We define the voice routing policies. We'll talk about those. The trunk configuration defines if the gateway that's associated on that trunk should enforce these restrictions I mentioned earlier. So we want to enforce this for PSTN gateways, not for PBX gateways. Your question might be, I'm sure one of you is thinking of it, what if you use the PBX to get to the PSTN? You could actually define this twice, have two trunks to that PBX, one trunk for routing the calls that you know would be internal, and the other trunk for routing the calls that you know would go out to the PSTN, right? Because you know which extensions would be on that PBX. So even though you're going to the PSTN through the PBX, we could configure it twice and apply location-based routing policies to one and not the other. Your voice policies the ones that you assign to users have to be enabled. I'll show that. And then you enable it globally. Okay? The voice routing policy is very much like a regular voice policy, except it only has usages in it. It doesn't. The other thing that's in a user's voice policy is that feature set that they can have. Can this user do call park? Can they do malicious call trace? That sort of thing. The question is, do you have to enable it globally or can you do it per site? I guess the answer is both. There's a flag that tells outbound routing if it should consider location-based routing at all. I had that off at the beginning, and all I did was turn that back on. But then per site, you saw at each individual site level, you say whether it's on or off for that site. So there's a global flag. That doesn't mean that every site then will do it. Only the sites that you flag will do it. All right, so it's a voice routing policy that is just usages. If you were to look at this, the commandlet for doing that, all you're doing is giving it a name and a set of usages. These are the same PSTN usages that you've already created, potentially, and you're using in other places. The usage, remember, and if you don't remember, you can watch Ken's session tomorrow. The usages just will contain the routes. The routes specify the trunk that's going to be used for that call. So this would basically be saying, if you're in, I'm creating a policy that's for the West gateway or for Mumbai, so that when you're in that site, use routes that specify gateways in that site, okay? And I showed this earlier, the user's assigned voice policy is used for authorization, then this policy is used to actually select the route. And then you have to enable it. So this is a one-page summary of all the commandlets that you need to enable this. So if I switch over to the demo here real quick. So you saw here on the sites, it was already enabled here. And the site here says, for example, that this is going to use the voice routing policy site A. And if I just do a get CS voice routing, routing policy for site A, it's really just a list of usages. Oops, keep doing that. It's just a set of usages, and in this case, I really just have, because it's a very simple environment, I only have one usage in there. So it means when you're visiting the site A, it's going to use these usages to determine your route, because location-based routing is on for that site, and it has to be on for your user as well. So say you have this on for your users in Mumbai, they have a voice policy that says do location-based routing. But if you have a US-based user that visits there, it's not on in their voice policy. They don't have location-based routing when they're at home in the U.S. They won't when they go there and visit either. It'll say, oh, this is a user that doesn't, I don't have to worry about compliance here. Generally, the case is I'm a U.S. user. My voice policy probably includes U.S. gateways for making these calls. I don't have to worry about toll bypass because I'm using U.S. gateways anyway when I place that outbound call. The network sites, you saw the network sites were, I showed the network sites in the previous example. I didn't show the trunks yet here. So essentially you'll have a trunk configuration for each gateway. So if you haven't done trunk configurations before, just think of it as kind of your, it's where you define all the things that are unique about that gateway, okay? So here's for this gateway, this is B2 gateway, which happens to be what I call the east gateway over there. It has location restrictions on, so people that are visiting that site have to do location-based routing. And you have to then also say, because we wouldn't know what sites these gateways are in, we do that here. There's a new parameter on here, this network site ID at the bottom. So these two things are working together, these last two things, to say, here's this is a location-based routing gateway, and here's the site that it's in. It's in site B in this case. I could have another gateway that's really in the same site that doesn't have the same restrictions if that's a PBX where it's all internal calling, right? Okay. So unfortunately, you do have to do some PowerShell. It is it does make things a lot more complex. You can't manage it and test it all in one place. But if you have to comply with these regulations, this enables that. So now you can deploy Link in a place that you might not have been able to before. I mentioned this conferencing application. It is something that has to be enabled separately. It starts with a little MSPL. This is how you add MSPL there. So you'll find the TechNet documentation for enabling location-based routing describes this just fine. And that's what's watching the conferences to make sure that they don't have a mix of PSTN and multiple sites. It is also the same application enforcing this for consultative transfers. Maybe that first inbound call was acceptable, but now you're trying to transfer to someone in a different site. This will check to make sure that that isn't happening, that after the transfer, we don't have a call that is it's non-compliant. Okay. So we've talked about the features. We've talked about how to configure it, how to enable it here. You see you have a bunch of different options that you have to turn on. I want to go through just a couple of these scenarios and how you might enable these features differently. So there are a mess of different countries that have these regulations on voice over IP. Generally, it's about not bypassing the local PSTN. Use the PSTN provider instead of your wide area network for those calls, and that's why this feature was built. Okay? These regulations generally, right, although it's you need to make sure that you've gotten better advice than mine in whatever geography you're working in, they generally make exceptions for what they call a closed user group. So all of your link people can talk to each other just fine. You don't have to worry about that if they're all in your organization. Specifically in India, those are the regulations that apply, and it's specifically regulations in India that we had in mind when we built the feature, but that can be used generally to comply with other things, right? So we can't mix the calls between that closed user group and the PSTN. I've already said that. It's kind of at a zone basis, so that's why I said within the campus it's okay. If it comes into one building and it goes over your network to another building, that's not going to be an issue. If you are deploying in India, your deployment itself has to be certified. So it's not like, oh, you're using Link. Link is good, so you can deploy Link for voice in India. No, your actual implementation has to be certified. And there's a list of scenarios that you test, and the service provider can come in and test those scenarios to make sure that you're compliant and that they're satisfied with your deployment. We have been through that process. So our Microsoft voice deployment in India now is certified using this feature set. I think we fixed a couple things. So that's why I'm saying apply the latest cumulative update, because you'll be getting then the same code that we used to get our deployment certified. Okay. So what do you have to do? You need to basically turn on everything that I've just said, right? Turn on this global flag. Then for the users that operate in that country, turn on location-based routing for them. So now at least your other users are not going to have their routing affected. You'll need to define your network sites in Link for a number of reasons, call emission control, location policies, that sort of thing. But now you'll need to enable location-based routing on those. And then for each of your gateways, define whether location-based routing restrictions should be on those and specify which site they're in. Okay, so everything I've shown so far. Just a couple of details you might run into when you do that. So the scenario is Amy, in this case, normally works in Mumbai, but she's traveled to Delhi. And when she places that call out at the Delhi office, it might not be appropriate to put her phone number from Mumbai as the caller ID. Right, because then, so maybe they would allow it, maybe they don't. It depends on the carrier. But even if they allowed it, and she goes out with her real DID, then if someone tries to call her right back at that number, she's not in that office that day, right? And it's not going to be blocked because it's not going to be able to go over the inbound, over the wide area network to her. So for that reason, and maybe because the carrier's requirement, while she's working in that office, she might want to replace her number with the office number that she could get a call back on. So we have trunk translation rules that do that. And what the trunk translation rule would say is here, this is the gateway in Delhi. If there's a Mumbai user trying to place a call out using this gateway, replace their caller ID with the Mumbai number so that they can get a call back on it. Okay? So that's just something you might need to do because now you're routing out a gateway that you don't normally use and you're from a city that you're in a different city. You might find in some scenarios where you don't want to replace numbers or you have other things. The nice thing about Link 2013 is we can just keep defining other trunks even to the same gateway if we need different configuration on them. I just wanted to point that out here that if you're thinking you don't want to override numbers in other cases, you can have those be other trunks that different routes use. It's going to make things more complex, but I'm confident we have enough flexibility here to meet whatever your requirements happen to be. There are going to be some limitations here, and some of these have come up in your questions already, and that's good. But for regulatory compliance, there are some things you might have to turn off or not do because we can't guarantee that those scenarios wouldn't violate the principles involved here. Call park and response groups, there's nothing protecting those. So maybe the call comes in, you answer it, it's come into a gateway in site A, you're in site A, so that call would be allowed just fine. You park the call, and then you tell somebody in site in another site to retrieve it, that would be allowed. I mean, it's not that it might violate regulations. There's nothing in Link to prevent someone from another site picking up a parked call. So that's what I mean by call park. So you might want to disable call park in those countries. On those users' voice policies, just uncheck the call park option, then they couldn't park calls. Same with response groups. We'll ring all the agents. Even agents, their agents, it would be okay if an agent in the same site picked it up. It might not be okay if an agent in a different site picked it up. We don't do anything to prevent that. Dial-in conferencing. So all the restrictions I talked about on conferencing were for dial-out. So you have to make a decision, can I provide a dial-in number in that city that will, for joining conferences in that city so that we don't use a conference to do any toll bypass. If you don't think you can do that, you might need to just not provide dial-in access numbers in that country, right? You might provide then a global dial-in number in another country where you don't have that issue. Unified messaging. Those inbound calls go to unified messaging. It could be that for that time that someone is leaving a message, we've kind of broken the regulation because we had the PSTN leg and then maybe the UM server was in a completely different site. There's no site checking on the UM servers. Those calls just go. But it's not really a telephone conversation, right? You're just leaving a message. I haven't seen any issues come up, but I just want to point it out that those are going to be allowed. Consultative transfers, I'll give you the idea behind this problem, but there's more documentation that describes it. When we do a consultative, when that application that I said is running that checks to see if after the transfer this call would violate the regulations, it only evaluates as far as the mediation server, unfortunately. It doesn't know beyond that where the gateway is. So if you have multiple gateways that are all dependent on a single mediation server, which is very likely, right? If you've co-located mediation server, all of your gateways are accessed through that mediation server. Well, if any one of them has a location-based restriction, then unfortunately they all would be treated the same because we only evaluate up to that mediation server. So there is a scenario where you might need to deploy specific mediation servers if you have a PBX, for example, that you don't want to do these location-based restrictions on. Okay. So I just point that out, but it's more in the documentation if you're deep into deployment and you get to that point. Okay. That's for regulatory compliance. What if you're sitting there now, you're thinking, my deployment is only in the United States, for example, or all within one country, any other country that doesn't have these specific requirements? An example I might use here is, what if I am in the United States, and I have an office in Seattle, and I have an office in New York, and a user calls Denver. So it doesn't matter whether, in terms of the PSTN toll charge, whether that call goes out the Seattle gateway or goes out the New York gateway. It would cost the same either way. But now if I know where the caller is, it would be best to select the gateway that's closest to them. Right, so if you're in Seattle, use the Seattle gateway rather than go all the way over to the New York gateway and then back out to the PSTN. Okay, so it's just for optimizing the call path. What's different about this scenario is that you're really just optimizing for outbound calls. You don't have a need to break inbound calling. Okay, because if I'm in from Seattle, but I've gone to New York, someone calls my Seattle phone number, I still want to get that inbound call, right? Just like we would normally expect with Link. So we don't need to turn that off. I don't want that message to just go to voicemail. So that's how it's different than the regulatory compliance case. I'm just trying to do kind of a best effort, get my outbound calls going out the right gateway. And lower your WAN utilization, right? You might want to do least cost routing first, right? If I'm calling a New York number, go out the New York gateway no matter what, because I'll do least cost routing. But if I'm calling another number in the country, select the gateway closest to the caller and allow all inbound calls, okay? we implement that a little differently. So this is a slide similar to what I showed for regulatory compliance with one difference. We have to turn the feature on globally. I probably didn't need to put that on every slide, but it's just a reminder. In the policy, user's voice policy, we'd say apply location-based routing for this user. We define this for the network sites as well, so we know where these gateways are, so we could select the gateway that's close. But what's different is on the trunks, and this is where this feature, we just don't enable on the trunk configuration. So I showed the trunk configuration. You set up in the full deployment for regulatory compliance, you actually enable location-based restrictions on those. In this scenario, you don't. And that's really the magic that makes it work. That trunk configuration is only checked for inbound calls. So now on inbound calls, we'll look on the trunk. We'll say, oh, we don't need to do location-based routing on the inbound call. So it will always go to the user, no matter where they are. Okay. All right. Now, you're concerned about this. It sounds really nice. If I'm calling Denver, pick the gateway closest to me. But you've seen there's a lot of PowerShell configuration here. There's a lot of mental load that the administrator has to carry because it's not exposed in the control panel, and it's not, you can't test it with the test voice routing stuff. It would be fine with me. I won't hurt my feelings at all if after this session you say, you know, that was great, Doug, but I'm not going to do it because it's just too complex. But a shout out to Ken down here. The Link Dialing Rule Optimizer at linkoptimizer.com that is not associated with Buchanan Technologies at all. That has some support for location-based routing in there. Knows where your gateways are. And talk to Ken or go to his session later and find out more about how that's in there. The user's voice policy will be used when they're remote. So we talked about if you're at an unknown site, you still have a voice policy that's assigned to you. That policy will be used when you're working remotely. So that's where you might want to use this. If you are working remotely, maybe the policy that's assigned to you says to use a centralized gateway, so you're going out in the data center, shortening that call path, coming in from the edge right to a data center gateway, instead of edge back to your branch office, out a gateway that's down there. Oh, which is the scenario I was going to talk about next. I should have looked ahead. Remote worker routing. You can use this feature. I think it's still a little complex for this, but I just wanted to point out, because you are at an unknown site, you could actually select this data center gateway. So it's the same as the call path optimization, just thinking about optimizing it for remote workers. And the implementation details are the same. Okay. I get the question then, too, about what do we do about emergency calling? Because we've had, since Link 2010, a feature for emergency services, E911. And in a way, that is a location-based routing, but only for one telephone number, right? Only for that number that 911, 112, whatever you define in your country, that there's a sort of location-based routing that applies to that, and it comes from the location policies. So how would that feature that we've had for a while interact with this new feature, location-based routing? So it's important to note, everything I've talked about for location-based routing does not apply if you dial an E911 number. So I'm talking about if you've configured location policies, you have a 911 service provider, and you're using that E911 feature for calls. They don't go through outbound routing the same way, so location-based routing does not apply to those. Okay, which is actually kind of a good thing because you've already built this configuration where you want to route those calls out maybe to your SIP trunk, to the service provider. Maybe you want to route it to a local ELIN gateway. You've already thought about how you want emergency calls to be handled. So now you don't want your LBR configuration to override them. But we do have another option now. We could use location-based routing. If you dial 911, we could use location-based routing to route that out the local PSTN gateway with a couple caveats. It's not exactly the same feature. When we dial the number specified in a location policy, and I'm pretty sure there's a session after me on this whole location policy and E911 service. So if what I'm saying here is not registering at all, you can get more information on that. But when we make that real emergency services call, we pass along your address, your street address information, in a format called PIDIF low. It's a XML attached to the outbound call. If you're using just regular location-based routing, you don't get that. So this doesn't replace what you do with an E911 service provider, okay? And you can have both of these on, and you can configure both of them. So you can use the real E911 feature for emergency calls. And you could think of using location-based routing for other internal service desks. Maybe you need to get to the emergency in a specific building or the local security desk in a building. You dial 911 for real help from the police and fire department, but dial 5,000 for the internal emergency desk. So you could have a per building or per campus security desk reached by a common extension. Everybody dials 5,000. E911 couldn't handle that because we only support one emergency number. You could use location-based routing to route that there with some major caveats. Location-based routing only applies to PSTN calls. So this would have to be, this 5,000, this emergency number, would have to be going out a gateway. It wouldn't just be another link user. Go out a gateway, and then they have a red phone, similar to what's up here, plugged into that gateway. So we would have the voice routing policy route that common extension to that local gateway. Those voice routing policies must be complete, though. So you can't just dabble a little bit in location-based routing. When I get down to the site level and I say at the site, if you're in this site, route 5,000 to this gateway, because for the emergency desk, that same policy has to route every other call as well. So if I just only put 5,000 in there, then I wouldn't be able to call PSTN numbers, right? So I've got to say, well, what happens if they call +1 or +44 or any other international number? So you can't just say, I only want to do location-based routing for this number. You set it up, you gotta have routes for all your numbers there, okay? Will know where you, Elon. This is not the same as kind of a location-based normalization, which would allow you to call a link user. So that's not possible here. So this doesn't meet all the requirements. I don't get excited. I wouldn't lead with this in a deployment, lead with this, hey, and let's go ahead and configure location-based routing to security desks. Okay. I think I have a few special design considerations here. I've got about 15 minutes left. This is what I was just talking about. When you're using location-based routing, that site routing policy that you're going to apply to the site does have to have routes for every call. Your users may be more restricted, right? The user may have a policy that says they can't make international calls, but that routing policy on the site would have to route every call. If they're restricted, they'll be restricted earlier. If you didn't put international call routes on there, then the call would end up being blocked, maybe even when it shouldn't. It's not like we fall back to their policy again. Trunks, which are gateways, they're associated with only one network site, and this is a little disappointment to me. It means that if you have a campus area, you have to define in the link control panel that whole campus as one site. And there might be cases where you really want to define the campus as multiple sites, so you could have different location policies that apply to them. But that's going to conflict. That desire to have multiple sites for your campus is going to conflict with this requirement that the whole site be the whole campus be reflected as one site. Okay, and we could talk more deeply about that offline if you want to. All right. So that's it. That's location-based routing. You saw it in action right here. It's not really that hard, but it does, if you think about an environment that's going to have a lot of different locations, a lot of gateways, you've got, not only now do you have to worry about regular user authorization, now you have to worry about, for each site, what is the optimal route to take for a call. So that's why I say this: you have to be careful when you do this, because there's no simulation of it either. Once you configure this, you just have to test it in practice, right, in real life, and see if it works. So you could, there's a lot of power, but with great power comes great responsibility, all right? Any questions at all? Any questions are fair game for the next 15 minutes. And I've got some more of these Skype cards to hand out. I gave some to my helpers. Thank you, Mr. West and Ms. East. Maybe best question, or I was going to give a card to the last question, but I don't know when the last question would be, actually. So. But... any questions about this? And if we have time, location, any voice routing as well? Question regarding the site configuration? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a good question. I'll repeat the question for everybody. When we come into the link control panel, we define our subnet IDs here. And these subnet IDs are grouped into sites. And it's this configuration that we use for location-based routing. And the question is, what if you have, I'll even broaden the question, but what if you have users that work from home that have shared the same thing? So remote workers get special treatment no matter what. So remote workers are always unknown. So that would override. They won't be the MS subnet header that we use in there. They'll just be at an unknown location in terms of the location-based routing. But this would also, if you NAT internally, right, NAT your sites internally, and you have a whole bunch of sites all behind NAT, and they're using the same scheme, you might as well not even consider using this feature. You're not going to get what you want. The client figures out its local subnet ID, puts that in the header of the SIP message. Then the servers look at that for routing decisions. So these all have to be unique within your company. They don't have to be unique with companies that you federate with or your remote workers. Mm-hmm. Yes?
For some mobile clients, can be used as also global policies are disabled the local-based provisioning. Mm-hmm. That user can, over the mobile clients, go over their policy and through over one or two other gateways.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the question about routing for mobile clients. So the first thing to say is this. If the Link 2013 mobile client, when it's placing a VoIP call, does not provide a subnet header. We don't know where you are because it could be outside out with an IP address from the provider. You could be inside on your Wi-Fi. But we don't do anything location-based with mobile clients. So when they do, but they can place a call. But because we don't know where they are, they'll be treated as unknown. So now their call will have to use their own voice policy for routing that. So you might want to make sure that that doesn't, if I were, a mobile user in Mumbai, and my voice policy is using Mumbai gateways, when I travel to another city, when I go to Delhi, then when I make a VoIP call there, location-based routing isn't going to apply. It's going to know my existing policy, and it's going to go out a gateway in Mumbai, probably violating these compliance issues. So, it would work. The call would be. It would work in the sense that the call would be placed. It would not be an appropriate call to place if you're worried about complying with the regulatory requirements. Okay. But the calls will still be placed. They just won't get location-based routing. Yeah. The question is this a roadmap item to have somehow have normalization be based on user location? So if I'm in one campus and I dial 5,000, it actually reaches a different link user than if I'm in another office and I dial 5,000. To the best of my knowledge, this is not on the roadmap anywhere. So it's if that comes up as a requirement, we need to think of other ways around it. But I don't see a normalization of numbers based on location. I don't see that coming soon. That would be cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it ends up, if you want to reach the paging and have a common number for reaching the paging in your building, like I said, you can do it if that paging system is integrated with Link, right, and we want to do reverse number lookup to reach it as a Link user, then we're out of luck. But if that paging system were out on a PSTN gateway, then potentially you could use this so that number that they dial gets routed out your local gateway to the paging system that's connected there. It could be, as simple as one of these little analog gateways that you route out to connect to the paging system or the security desk or whatever. So there's the couple slides on that you can use to do this. Yes?
Can I see our reporting services?
Can you, the question is, can you, in when you look at reporting, can you see what you would see in reporting services? And I don't have the reports here installed. You would see the ultimate gateway that was selected. And we show the diagnostic codes. I don't think you get all the details as to why that gateway was selected. So you could only report after the fact, these calls used these gateways. You could maybe figure out outside of the reports whether that was a location-based or not. But it might have been sent to that gateway because all the gateways in their site were down, right? And we were trying to do a least cost routing, but instead we fell back to that. Those kind of details are not in the reports, to the best of my knowledge, just that final gateway that's selected. Yes.
And you got certified.
Yes.
So there was probably a list of call scenarios that you built against. Any chance that could be made available?
So the question is about these different calling scenarios that we test against to make sure we're certified. It's my understanding that that list is available from the Telecom Regulatory Authority in India. I don't have it. I talked to our MSIT group before coming up here to say, well, what can I share? Because we're, and they said, you can share the technical details of how this is done, but what we don't want to get into here is to why we did a specific thing or what our goals were, because some of those are open to legal interpretation and negotiation between you and your carrier there. So they wouldn't give me a whole lot. They wouldn't give me that. And they wouldn't want to share the thinking behind why we did things a certain way. Because it may or may not apply to you, and we don't want to make any, you know, warranty or guarantee that you could. So, unfortunately, this is all I could share, so you're kind of on your own. You've got to find out what those scenarios are. But it is a list of known scenarios from the regulatory authority. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, well, thanks very much for your time. I hope you're enjoying the conference, and I'll see you around.
Thank you.